presented by American Edge Project.
It's Tuesday morning. I'm Olivia Reingold, and this is your Politico Playbook Daily Briefing.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson's Unhappy Monday. In
May of last, it might be time to do a wellness check on Fox News host Tucker Carlson, because it looks like he's finally found the line. Twitter is exploding this morning with the hashtag TuckerMustGo trending, and heat coming in from the Lincoln Project and Democrats like Representative Ted Lieu of California. The backlash is all because of Carlson's opening monologue from last night, which roughly translates into burn all the masks. This was the starting point of his mask diss track.
Instead, masks are purely a sign of political obedience, like Kim Il-sung pins in Pyongyang. We wear them because we have to. The only people who wear masks voluntarily outside are zealots and neurotics.
Guilty as charged. Next came the claim that mask wearers are mentally ill. Then a quick pitch to, quote, restore the society we were born in. Your run-of-the-mill bark that masks are, quote, repulsive. And soon, there was nowhere else to go but to take it here.
Your response when you see children wearing masks as they play should be no different from your response to seeing someone beat a kid in Walmart. Call the police immediately. Contact Child Protective Services. Keep calling until someone arrives. What you're looking at is abuse. It's child abuse, and you are morally obligated to attempt to prevent it.
That's honestly not unlike how I felt about having bows put on my head at age 5. But let's not forget, masks are a public health measure. We agree they're not fun to wear outdoors, especially when there's no one else around. But as of early this morning, the Centers for Disease Control is very clear. Their guidance, most recently updated last week, says, quote, people aged 2 and older should wear masks in public settings and when around people who don't live in their household. But good news for Tucker and others who shudder at the overwhelming oppression of a mask. The CDC is expected to announce new guidance, possibly today. CBS News is reporting those guidelines will cover mask-wearing protocols outdoors. But bad news for Tucker, who has also been on an anti-vaccine bender. That guidance is just for vaccinated people. Now that most theaters are still closed and we don't have Hamilton tickets to fight about, everyone in D.C. has been quibbling over invites to Biden's big events, like his inauguration, and more intimate gatherings, like bipartisan talks about infrastructure in the Oval Office. The latest yardstick of influence in D.C.? A seat at President Joe Biden's upcoming State of the Union-esque speech on Wednesday, his first joint address to Congress and planned opportunity to unveil part 2 of his infrastructure proposal called the American Families Plan. Normally, this sort of event would draw over 1,600 people, crowding randos and the who's who of D.C. alike into the House chamber. That's the 535 members of Congress, plus guests and other members of the executive and judicial branches. But now, Speaker Nancy Pelosi gets to play Chris Harrison and has 200 roses to dole out.
Ladies, Juan Pablo, it's the final rose tonight, when you're ready.
Senator John Thune, a South Dakota Republican, told The Hill Pool last night that the split is 40-40 in the House and 30-30 in the Senate, though Pelosi's office wouldn't confirm those numbers. We do know, though, that Pelosi's game plan is to let each leader decide how to hand out tickets. That means Kevin McCarthy, Chuck Schumer, and Mitch McConnell will all have to play favorites among their members. Though it's not exactly a hot ticket for the GOP. More Disney on ice than Hamilton. As for Pelosi, two sources familiar with her plan say the speaker is giving preference to the near 20 members of her leadership team. The 22 standing chairs and the leaders of the multiple caucuses will also get first dibs if they want to go. Meanwhile, SCOTUS and cabinet attendance will be restricted. We're told that of the 9 high court justices, only Chief Justice John Roberts is likely to attend. U.S. Army General Mark Milley will also be there on behalf of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and Secretary of State Antony Blinken will represent Biden's cabinet. Who's not going? Me, although I am available Wednesday night if anyone's asking. But more importantly, we're hearing that a lot of Republicans aren't really interested in going, though several dozen will attend. Minority Whip Steve Scalise said as much in Orlando, where House Republicans are convening for their annual retreat. Sources tell us he suggested yesterday that he was giving his tickets to a freshman lawmaker jumping at the bit to attend. One more thing. For the past 3 months, Playbook author Eugene Daniels has been interviewing five freshmen from the most diverse Congress in history for a new series Politico is calling Red, Fresh, and Blue. We're including one of Eugene's video interviews every day this week in Playbook, and today's is a sit-down with Representative Nikema Williams, the first woman to represent Georgia's 5th District and the successor to her mentor and civil rights icon John Lewis. Sitting on Black Lives Matter Plaza, where Lewis had his final public appearance, they covered Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and how Democrats stripped her committee assignments for xenophobic comments and the recent flurry of voting rights legislation.
How confident are you that Congress is going to be able to do something to make sure that people that look like you and me continue to have the right to vote?
They're passing bills like that would stop Sunday voting, that would change everything around the absentee voting process. And Republicans, some of them, have pushed back against some of the voting changes. And so I am convinced that there will be some fair-minded people here in Washington that will see that democracy supports both parties.
Red, Fresh, and Blue is out now, and you can get it by subscribing to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook. That's all I've got for you today. I'm Olivia Reingold. Thanks. See you first thing tomorrow.
Technology has helped American small businesses survive the COVID-19 pandemic. It has helped small businesses navigate challenges, innovate, and remain competitive. Amid COVID-19, there is no doubt that technology has played a central role in the survival of many of our nation's small businesses. Learn more about how technology powers small business innovation at AmericanEdgeProject.org.